This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
We find the defendants guilty.
Hey, Sandler!
Crime time, baby!
Fear! Money!
Nobody moves!
Nobody gets hurt!
Sorry about your damn luck.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich, and today I am joined by another Andrew, a fellow Andrew. He is the current Impact Wrestling reviewer for Voices of Wrestling. It's Andrew Sinclair. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. Excited to be on this podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts in the Voice of Wrestling Network. So very cool opportunity.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's great to have you on here. That's for sure. Nice to have a fellow Andrew on the show for once. I think actually you're the first other Andrew who's ever been on the show. So congrats, I guess. I don't know.
Thank you. I will take that as a victory and proceed forward.
Okay. And I think we also have in common the fact that we both really love the show called The Midwife.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, which is incredible because, you know, as wrestling fans, we love, you know, hard-hitting action and violence and big bombs and manly men hitting each other. But at the same time, we also love this cute little show about midwives in 50s and 60s England. So it's kind of polar opposites there, I think.
Very, very strange juxtaposition. You've got, on the one hand, like, my favorite wrestling is Yuji Okabayashi and Zeus just slapping the pudding out of each other. And then on the flip side, there's me crying at women delivering babies, and it's not real. And yeah, Call the Midwife gets me every time. And I'm not ashamed to admit that at all.
Yeah. Very strange combo, that's for sure. But a good one. But anyway, Andrew, since this is your first time here on the show, I'll ask you a question that I ask a lot of first-time guests here. How long have you been a wrestling fan, and how did you get into wrestling?
So I started watching wrestling when I was sort of seven, which was at my grandparents' house because they had Sky, and that was where Raw and SmackDown were. So that's where I got introduced to wrestling. My grandfather had always loved wrestling. He used to go to the old World of Sport tapings with my grandma, and she was the sort of grandma who'd hit the baddies with her handbag. they very much loved their wrestling. I remember after my grandfather passed away, watching it with my grandma. And she'd mark out for Batista and she'd boo Ric Flair, even though no one was there to tell her otherwise. So that was my introduction to wrestling. And then I kind of followed it on and off for a couple of years after that, and then really got back into it sort of 2009, which is when I started watching Impact. And that really got me back into wrestling, and I found another love for wrestling again. And from then it's just kind of like spiraled, really. And I just now I consume as much as my university degree will physically let me.
And what about the music? Has that been a big part of your fandom at all?
For me, the music is a huge part of it because I think a great theme song can really help somebody. I wrote my Impact column this week about Michael Elgin, which obviously would divide opinion. But one of the big things I thought was great about his debut was that I thought his theme music was really good. And I think a really good theme song catches attention even if the person maybe doesn't. Like at the moment, one of my favorite theme songs is Eddie Edwards' one. I think he's got a really fun theme song that works. And great theme songs work. And yeah, there aren't some that are great, but I think theme songs are, you recognize it. And when you're a child, you hear Batista, I Walk Alone. And I was jumping up and down all over that living room, getting hyped. And I think that's kind of stuck with me ever since, really.
I picture like an 8-year-old Andrew Sinclair doing the Batista machine gun arms. Yeah!
100%, whereas now I'm much more old and sedentary, so there's not so much getting up, there's more like occasional pacing.
Well, today, Andrew, we are here on episode 59, and as I said, you are the current Impact Wrestling reviewer for VOW. You took up the mantle from Garrett Kidney, which are pretty big shoes to fill, but I think you've filled them wonderfully.
Thank you.
And the way you do the reviews is pretty cool, too, because each week you center it on a different topic rather than a straight front-to-back review, which is a pretty neat way to do it in, I think.
I think it was a nice avenue, because when I took over from Garrett, Garrett kind of had that job because he was kind of the voice on Impact. And he did the weekly reviews, and even if they didn't get huge traffic, I think he was someone that people really enjoyed reading the work of because he put so much passion into it and clearly cared. So when I took over, I thought, well, I don't want to try and be the same because I know I'm not going to be as good. So try and go for something slightly different. So Rich and I talked about maybe doing the column, and then it's worked quite well because I've usually got a couple of ideas floating about in my head. So I always kind of got a little bit of material to go with, i.e. someone's debuting, I can write something about them, someone's leaving, I can spotlight them, or just kind of big storylines or things I've noticed about the TV that I like, don't like, have an issue with, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and of course I bring up Impact for a very good reason here, because today we are going to be talking about the TV themes of the Impact Wrestling TV show from when it first started on FSN way back in 2004, all the way through the many, many, many time slot changes and date changes and channel changes, all the way up to 2019, where it's on the quite prestigious Pursuit channel. More on that later, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this first here, Andrew. You mentioned that you first got into TNA in 2009. Do you remember how you first discovered it? Who was on the show? All that stuff?
So I started watching it January 2009. It was Genesis 2009 I started. And basically, it was the Christmas holidays from school. I was 11. I was bored. And I basically started scanning the kind of very primitive on-demand service on the TV at home. And I found this wrestling, and I was like, who are these guys? And then I spotted on the kind of the little logo, I spotted, I think it was Kurt Angle or Samoa Joe. And I was like, oh, I recognize them. I've seen them before. And I whacked it on. And I remember the first match I really paid attention to was Alex Shelley against Chris Sabin, which was a sort of 16-minute match for the X Division title. They played up well on commentary. They were tag team partners. They knew each other really well. And it was just a really fun back and forth. It wasn't a match of the year contender or whatever, but it was different. It was fast paced. It was the traditional X Division style, if you will. And that really hooked me in. The rest of the show kind of went by. It didn't really hit me. There was some stuff with Sheikh Abdul Bashir. I seemingly think there was a referee gimmick in that as well. That wasn't great. But I remember that show and Sting against Rhino for the world title. And I just remember kind of getting hooked from then. And it really was that Shelley Sabin match that hit me. And Secret Santa last year, Voice of Wrestling, I had to give a match to somebody. I didn't think of anything else because that was the match that got me into Impact. And it was just super fun. And I've really stuck with it ever since through all the LOL TNA years, the Billy Corgan era, the multiple Jeff Jarrett eras, and now the Don Callis era.
Yeah, I remember discovering it back in 2004 when it pretty much first started. I was 11 at the time, and I was watching TV one day, and this commercial came on for Impact. And I was like, oh, cool, more wrestling. I'll watch that for sure. And I did. I tuned in to Fox Sports Net on my cable, and there was AJ Styles. You know, there was Chris Sabin and Monty Brown and Abyss and Triple X and AMW and all these guys who I never heard of before who I then became big fans of. And from then on, I was hooked. I watched every week. Even when Impact actually left FSN and you had to watch it with Real Player on the TNA website for a few months, I still watched every week. And then, of course, it got back on TV later on in the year with Spike, and the rest is history. But yeah, man, 15 years ago already, it's been. I've been watching TNA for 15 years now, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. There was a few months where recently when I came up to university, and it was the era in the UK where it had left Challenge and it hadn't yet started on Five Spike. So it wasn't actually technically shown in the UK anywhere. So I was reliant on the YouTube for a while, just to try and keep up with things and whatever. But then it went back to Five Spike, and yeah, that was my one break. But for me, this is the 10th year I've been following the company. And I was just preparing for this show and thinking back to 2009, all the guys that were there then. Chris Sabin being in the first match, I really remember watching, and now he's a producer for the company. Sting, whatever, all those guys, Angle, Joe, Styles, all the stuff they've done in Impact, gone to the WWE or wherever they've ended up going. So much has happened in those 10 years, and the company's still there despite everything. It's always been a constant, even if the product or the roster has turned over massively and the company's changed massively, it's still been there.
Yeah, I mean, that's really one of the most amazing things about Impact, is that it's even still on the air in 2019. You know, considering all the stories over the years, all the trials and tribulations about moving time slots and moving channels and the bad PR and LOL TNA and declining ratings. People have been predicting, you know, that TNA, Impact, whatever, it would die, you know, every year since it started, pretty much. And somehow, some way, they still manage to survive. And Impact, as a show, still manages to be on the air. Granted, it's on a nothing channel like Pursuit, mind you, and it's streaming on Twitch, and pretty much nobody's watching it anymore, but it's still around. It's still going. And even if you're not a fan of Impact, you have to at least give them the credit for their longevity. As a TV show, as a company, whatever, they have had incredible longevity.
Oh, I totally agree. And in the UK, they've recently changed channel from Five Spike to Five Star, which is great for me. As an avid viewer of Australian soaps, that's the home of them is Five Star. And now Impact's on the same channel as my Home and Away and Neighbours viewing. So I'm well set.
Everything is coming up Milhouse in that regard.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get to these themes here. A couple fun facts before we do. The first episode of Impact was on June 4th, 2004 on Fox Sports Net. There have been 770 episodes of the show to date as of this recording. It has been on 5 different TV channels in the U.S. and can be seen on TV in over 25 other countries. It has been shown in 14 different time slots, has been on 6 out of the 7 days of the week, and has had 10 different commentator lineups. So there is quite a lot of change and turnover over the years here, which, looking at the amount of themes on this episode here, Andrew, that seems to be a real recurring motif with Impact in general, I think.
Yeah, there's been a huge amount of change, and I think the turnover's in some sense is good, in some sense is bad, but yeah, I think the themes, there's a lot of difference between some of them, certainly the earlier ones and the more modern ones. But even the modern ones, it's kind of, you've got a theme for each sort of mini era of the promotion, really. And they all feel distinct in their own way. And you can kind of match them up with a period in the company's history with certain announcers and certain wrestlers and certain storylines and certain issues outside the ring in certain cases. Yeah, and that turnover has obviously been a huge, huge part of the company's identity, especially within the wrestling bubble, as it were.
Okay, we'll start off here with the first theme, which naturally debuted on episode 1, June 4th, 2004, on FSN. It's, of course, by Dale Oliver. This does not have an official title, so it's just called the Impact 2004 to 2005 theme. So the first Impact theme is quite interesting, I think, to listen to, in the sense of just how foreboding it sounds and how ominous a tone it conveys. It has that kind of industrial sound that was fairly prominent with TNA themes in general back in the day, which is not a very warm or inviting type of music. The clunkiness of the guitar riffs, dun 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 dun, dun, the orchestral bits in there, the gong, the deep boom of the percussion that just pounds into the song. There's a coldness and a militaristic, sort of imperialistic quality to this one. This image of the ruthless conquering army that is just rolling through a barren wasteland with its tanks and its missiles and its soldiers. And for a brand new wrestling show, I don't know if that's the kind of tone you want to convey here to your audience, Andrew.
No, I'm with you. You've kind of explained it far better than I could possibly hope to. But the things I took from it, one, I don't know whether this was me, but the first sort of 20, 25 seconds, I was listening to it and all I could hear was like the old Goldberg theme. And I was just sort of waiting for him to like headbutt a door and come out and jackhammer me. That might just be me. That might be where my brain's at right now. But the other thing, I feel they were debuting on Fox Sports Net in America. They were on Bravo in the UK. This was an era where Impact had their first pay-per-view. They were really trying to grow their brand. And for me, the theme song of the TV show needs to be really in your face. And these kind of felt kind of nondescript, really. It felt like if you heard that, it wouldn't have any real effect on you. It's not kind of catchy or memorable in any way, as far as I'm concerned. And it doesn't have that in-your-face characteristic that a new company targeting a newish audience really should have.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wrestling show, so there will obviously be violence and action and that stuff. But it's also supposed to be fun and exciting, and this theme is not that. You know, it's heavy, it's intense, sure, but it lacks that driving spark that gets you motivated to sit down and watch, you know, Shark Boy versus Petey Williams or whoever. I mean, it's perfect for like Command and Conquer or whatever, but not so much for, you know, a fun, exciting wrestling show.
Yeah, I mean, this was an era of Impact. We had Amazing Red, Sonjay Dutt, Petey Williams, America's Most Wanted, AJ Styles. I mean, this was the era of the Elix Skipper cage walk. You had Monty Brown. What a lad he was. I miss Monty Brown deeply. But you had like the Three Live Crew. You had lots of interesting, fun acts. And then this song, I don't know, it doesn't convey, to me, it didn't convey really what the company was about. The violent kind of undertones are there. But to me, it just kind of, the theme feels there, but it's not kind of, it doesn't hit you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's unique. You got to give it that. It's unique. It definitely stands out amongst a lot of the other wrestling TV show themes that I've heard, especially around this time in WWE, because Raw had Across the Nation, SmackDown had I Want It All, and those two songs sound very different than this one. So I guess I got to give this first theme some credit here for, you know, standing out amongst the other two major wrestling TV show themes at the time.
Oh, yeah, there is a uniqueness from that perspective. And I think this was sort of before they were trying to be WWE-like, so it achieved something in that regard.
So that first theme lasts until the next year, 2005, which is the year that they got canceled by FSN. They moved to the website for a little bit, and then they got back on TV on Spike later in that year on Saturday nights. So this second theme is, again, by Dale Oliver, and again, no official title, so it's just going to be called the Impact 2005 to 2006 theme. So this second theme here, not totally different from the first one. Still has that kind of grimy rock metal sound to it. That said, though, this theme has exactly what the first one doesn't, which is that drive, that energetic human spark to it that gets you pumped up and gets you motivated. It's not over the top. It's not super happy peppy, but still, you can hear that the guitar riffs are a bit smoother. The refrain is more of a kick-ass melody to it than the more militaristic one in the previous theme. It's not super complicated, quite repetitive, actually. But overall, it's much more punk, much more in-your-face and attitudinal and come on than it is all doom and gloom, which I think is a much better choice for a wrestling show theme, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. To me, it came across as much heavier, more punky in tone. And to me, that screamed more kind of classic TV wrestling, if that makes sense. Obviously not classic in the sense of your AWAs and your 80s and your 90s, but certainly the era I was growing up with Raw and SmackDown, this certainly felt more like quote-unquote wrestling, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. For me, it's much more in your face. It registers much more as wrestling. I'm not saying it's a hugely better song than the first one, but it certainly does feel like it fits the brief a little bit better.
Yeah, and this type of sound, too, will be pretty much the majority sound for the remainder of the show. There will be a few outliers here and there, of course, but for the most part, the Impact theme will be some sort of intense, in-your-face, driving metal song, which, again, for a wrestling TV show, it makes sense.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you.
And one more thing from me about this song here. Of course, this being Dale Oliver, he did rip off another song to make this one. That being Cosmopolitan Blood Loss by a post-hardcore band called Glassjaw. Many ways, many days, many faces down the line. When people whisper, it makes her nervous. It's you from the airport, you're dressed in most letters. Several days, I just might be worth it. So after all, so it kind of makes sense then why it would sound more energetic and lively, because it's based off of a post-hardcore band and their song. And that song, by the way, the Glassjaw song, that also has its own connection with wrestling, because it's on the soundtrack to the video game Legends of Wrestling 2, which I did own for the GameCube back in the day. Not a great game, pretty bad, but the soundtrack was pretty good, so...
Well, you learn something every day. I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm not sure that the hardcore music scene is really me, really. I'm much more of a country stroke Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra kind of guy. But at least I got the punky kind of overtone. So I'm impressed with myself in that regard.
Gold star for you. April 2006, that's when Impact moved to its new time slot on Thursdays. On Spike TV, first late at night, then in prime time, which means we get theme number 3. This is by Dale Oliver featuring Mark Williams and Vernon Kay off of the album Third Degree Burns, The Music of TNA Wrestling Volume 1. This is called Adrenaline Rush.
Come on, little rock.
So a couple years in now, and we finally get what I think can be considered the first quote-unquote full-fledged song for an Impact theme. The first two were okay, but, you know, they were just kind of generic metal instrumentals. Not all that memorable, really. Here you've got vocals. Here you've got lyrical structure. You've got some electronica bits and bobs in there in the mix. It's not the most serious song in the world, mind you, but it does inject some much-needed personality and more of that human touch into the song, while at the same time retaining that drive and that energy that was in the previous theme, Andrew.
Yeah, I really like this one. It does come across as quite tame at the beginning, which is obviously a slight drawback. You want it to kind of hit you from the beginning. But just some of the lyrics, I need no permission because I'm your opposition now. And I'm going to attack. Kind of those things are very kind of brash, cocky. They reflect the growing popularity of the company at this time. They certainly seem to be gaining a groundswell of support. You had Christian Cage in the main event scene. I'm a huge Christian fan. I always have been. Like, that was a great time for me anyway. And it kind of, it reflected the move into Thursday nights. I don't know, the song to me conveys a brash, on-the-come-up company and promotion that has something to kind of boast about and be a little bit braggadocious about. I love that. And I mean, the first episode on the Thursday night, you had Abyss defeating Rhino. You had Alex Shelley and Sonjay Dutt teaming up to defeat Hirooki Goto and Minoru Tanaka. And you had an X Division title match between Samoa Joe and Jay Lethal. That's a wrestling show I'd get hyped about. Perfect 1 hour of wrestling for me. And that song, to me, sells that hour of wrestling to you.
Exactly, yeah. I think even having a song be called Adrenaline Rush is what you want for a wrestling show. You want people to watch your show and feel that adrenaline rush and to feel the excitement and all that stuff. So you want a song that promotes those feelings. Of course, the vocalist saying the words adrenaline rush like 80,000 times in the song also helps, of course, but the lyrics do too. You say I'm being rude because I got an attitude. You better watch out because I'm going to come and get you. It takes a million or more to hold me back. So watch out, world, because I'm on the attack now. So you're getting action, you're getting excitement, you're getting that adrenaline rush that's going to pump you up whenever Impact is on. So it all makes sense there, Andrew.
You know, when I come down, I come up to feel the vibe of the adrenaline rush now. It's just so bold and cocky, and I think the vocals being really irritating kind of helps with that, because then the theme kind of gets stuck in your head, and then obviously it segues into the program and some good quality wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's perfect for the era too, I think, because this is still mid-2000s, and this kind of music, that whole rap rock thing, is still going strong at this point. You know, like this would fit right in on the soundtrack to Need for Speed Hot Pursuit or whatever, you know, like that, because it's perfect for that, I think.
It was a tremendous game.
The next year, 2007, we get yet another new theme, the fourth theme in 3 years. Dale Oliver, once again. This is off of Meltdown, The Music of TNA Wrestling, Volume 2. And again, no real title, really, so it's just called the Impact 2007 to 2008 theme. So not really much to say about this one, considering it's just a second version of the second theme. Pretty much the same song, really, except for a few few busier moments there in terms of the individual parts of the song, a few more guitar riffs added in. But yeah, not a ton to say about this one, I don't think, Andrew.
No, I listened to it the first time and I initially thought it was exactly the same as the second one. I listened to it again and I do get what you mean. It's slightly kind of a bit more intense than the second one, but yeah, I don't know. It's a weird choice because I thought, it feels like a backward step from the Adrenaline Rush song. It would kind of make more sense if they were maybe the other way around in terms of kind of trying to improve the themes and build your identity. It makes sense that you'd have a slightly improved version of one song and then a totally different angle rather than A, B, and then kind of have A somewhere halfway between A and B, if that makes sense.
A2, yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yes. As opposed to A1, who was part of Team Canada.
yeah. Good old Alistair Ralphs. Yeah, but yeah, I felt the same way as you did. Why did they do away with Adrenaline Rush and take this step backwards to the generic sludgy metal song, especially after only using Adrenaline Rush for a short amount of time, which, as we said before, is kind of par for the course for a lot of these themes. You know, the turnover is practically an annual occurrence because some big event happens, and they feel that because of this big change, the theme needs to change too. Which, okay, I'm sure some big changes do require a theme change, but it's not necessary for every single change, you know?
No, I feel you. And I think with certainly individual wrestlers' music, you form an identity to their music. And yes, that will change when there's perhaps a change of gimmick or angle, or if they've been away for a long time. But if they keep kind of chopping and changing the music, you don't form that attachment to that person, because when the music hits, your brain doesn't automatically click and go, bang, AJ Styles, or whoever that person may be. And I kind of, that feels the same with the TV show. If it keeps chopping and changing, it won't necessarily have the same register with people. That might be me making more of it than it is, but to me, that's how it came across.
Right, right. And to be fair, it's not like it's just TNA doing this thing. You know, SmackDown has had like a million themes in the span of 8 years or whatever. Same with NXT. I'm pretty sure, I think ROH is like the only major wrestling TV show now that has had only two or three theme songs since it started back up on Sinclair in 2011. So it is a habit that goes beyond TNA and into the larger wrestling sphere.
That's very true. I agree with you. You can never get enough Nickelback, can you?
No. Or Papa Roach, for that matter. No. But we go now to the very next year, 2008. October 23rd was the first episode that was filmed outside the Impact Zone. So to mark the occasion, we get yet another new theme. This is by Dale Oliver and Cirque Salinas, featuring ADAM off of Emergence, the music of TNA Wrestling. This is called Cross the Line. Historical context here. Cross the Line was actually the tagline for TNA at this point in time, 08, 09-ish. It used to be TNA We Are Wrestling, but then they changed it to TNA Cross the Line, which, given some of the tasteless angles that they've done over the years, I'd say that's a pretty appropriate tagline, I think. but anyway, this is a very heavy song. Probably the heaviest song so far. especially with the shouty metal vocals in there instead of the bouncy Adrenaline Rush guy. And comparing the two songs, I'd say that Cross the Line is much more intense and much more serious than a song like Adrenaline Rush is. So it kind of represents not necessarily a maturity, but that Impact has gained a harder edge, so to speak. Which, again, having the song be called Cross the Line matches up with that pretty nicely, Andrew.
I love this song. I unashamedly love this song. I think it's very much not my musical taste either, but I think it's because this is when I first parachuted into Impact, and it's a time when I really got back into wrestling again. So I've kind of got an emotional attachment to this song, and when I was kind of going through it before the show, it kind of struck me a little bit, and I got a bit emotional. But yeah, it was very bold. It's very in your face, even more in your face than the Adrenaline Rush song. The metal kind of tone to it, I think, really helps with that. But yeah, this is a song that for me is associated with a really fun time in Impact. You had Beer Money, who are one of my favorite more modern tag teams. You had Sting, you had whatever was going on with the Main Event Mafia. You had Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, rather, the Motor City Machine Guns. You had Matt Morgan, you had Awesome Kong, Lethal Consequences. It was just a great time for the company. And I don't know, the song really gets across the cross-the-line message that they were going for. I mean, that was the purpose of it. But it just feels very, very in your face. It really hits you. And I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I appreciate how the lyrics really try to push Impact as this alternative brand to WWE. Everybody's doing what everybody's doing. Everybody's doing the same thing. I be doing what I be doing. I be doing my thing. The world spins round to the right, they say. I'll be spinning the other way. Doing what I can, doing what I know. The world's my stage, and I'm the show. It is my destiny. It is the truth I see. In this world I find a way to cross the line. No possibility, originality, don't be left behind, go ahead and cross the line. So what it's saying is that crossing the line isn't just about being crude or whatever. It's almost like an act of rebellion. You know, everybody's doing the same thing, everybody is watching WWE and WWE is the same and whatnot. Well, we're TNA. We'll be doing what we'll be doing. We'll be spinning the other way. We'll be going against the grain. If everybody else wants to toe the line, we will cross the line and be something new, something else, something original. And that's a really good and strong message to have in your theme song if you're trying to present yourself and your show as the alternative to WWE. Obviously, the reality is that TNA has done a lot of WWE things over the years, but at the same time, you know, they've also gone down different routes and put their own spin on things, like with the X Division, for example, or with the Knockouts Division being a superior in-ring product to the Divas Division for many years. So yeah, I'd say Cross the Line is a pretty good theme to have for Impact, Andrew.
Yeah, I think it really captured the essence of the promotion. And in theory, at least, what they were trying to do, even if there was a lot of kind of WWE-like crossover in places with certain storylines or whatnot. But I think a part of the song that's always struck me, and I think this is my mind making the association rather than actually being one, is there's a part in the song where it says, listen to the voice, to the spirit scream, come alive and fly with me. And then it goes back into the chorus, it's my destiny, and that way. But the come alive and fly with me, this theme starts only a couple of months before AJ Styles starts using the classic Get Ready to Fly song. And I always kind of made an association with the two, with AJ having that Get Ready to Fly, just great song, and me being fully behind AJ Styles. So I always kind of made the association that he hit it, kind of they hit the right note of the two being together.
Yeah. See, to me, when you say that line, come alive and fly with me, I was thinking of a different wrestler, Suicide.
Oh.
Because if you remember, his theme song was, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming alive. And at the time, he would fly to the ring on the zip line. So that's what I thought there.
That was great. I remember his feud with D'Angelo De Niro. That was possibly
that was a fun one.
Time,
yeah,
only time I ever cared about the former Elijah Burke. I think I don't know. This might be me. Is this the song that's on the TNA Impact video game?
Maybe because they put out the PSP version of the game, and they called it TNA Impact Cross the Line. So yeah. Maybe, but I'm not totally sure on that actually.
Yeah, I've not played that decade I've not played that game in about a decade plus, but the song seems like it would have been around the same time the game came out. And obviously Suicide was on the game, and that's how they parlayed it into being on TV. So maybe it is, or maybe that's just my mind again. But I don't know. It would make sense on the game as well, because they were trying to do something different with the game in terms of the presentation or whatever.
Right, right. One more thing about this one here. It's kind of funny how it's a song about originality, and yet at the same time, it's also a ripoff song. Because it's a ripoff of the song Paralyzer by Finger Eleven. Which is just funny to me that a song about originality and doing your own thing is actually copying another song.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, but I'm not gonna take any disparaging of an incredible TV thing.
Oh no, I'm not criticizing. Let's be clear about that. I'm just pointing it out for the fine folks out there. So, in the time between Across the Line and this next theme coming up here, a couple of icons stroll into TNA looking to steer this ship into the ocean of success. They end up steering it into a lagoon of mediocrity, but that's a story for later, I think. Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff, they come to TNA, and all of a sudden, big changes are afoot in the company. One of which was moving Impact from Thursdays to Mondays to go head-to-head with Raw. They do a test run of this on January 4th, 2010, and quote-unquote permanently move it to Mondays on March 8th. So on March 8th, Impact gets a new theme song. It's composed by Dale Oliver and Cirque Salinas, and it's performed by a band called Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is called Change Me. So I don't have a lot to say about the actual music itself. It's a decent rock song, pretty catchy. But the part I want to focus on here are the title and the lyrics, because Change Me is such a perfect way to describe TNA around this time, because there were just so many changes going on here when Hogan and Bischoff came in and took over. You know, you had the six-sided ring going back to the four-sided ring. You had the change from Thursday nights to Monday nights for the time slot, and then back to Thursdays because the writing sucked. But yeah, the roster changes as well, where they brought in a bunch of guys like Brian Kendrick, Mr. Anderson, the Nasty Boys, Orlando Jordan, Sean Morley, Shannon Moore, Bubba the Love Sponge. So there are just a bunch of changes going on here. And I think having a song called Change Me is very appropriate for the occasion, Andrew.
I'm not going to lie. I hate this song. To me, it smacks of the Papa Roach song that used to be on Raw.
To Be Loved.
Yes, that one, which I used to think was a jam back in the day. But now I don't like either. But I feel like it screams that to me, and then it screams, because of that, WWE Lite, which was, I think, everything I disliked about what they tried to do by moving to Monday nights. I remember the first Monday night episode was just really bad. Like, they had the Steel Asylum match to start, where the bars were too close together. And the
Oh, God, that's
were.
Right. Oh, where Homicide got stuck.
Yeah.
He got stuck. Oh, Jesus.
And then Seth Hardy just comes out and, like, sits on the top. And I was just like, this is, like, actual trash. And then you ended up with Flair and Hall and Waltman and the Nasty Boys. And it just get worse and worse and worse for me during that show. And you had the Hogan and the Bischoff staff, who I'd never really liked from the WWE days. And then the weird thing is that first show ended with a match between Styles and Angle that was really good. Like, really, really good. I remember really liking it at the time. But then it just got worse. Like, the ratings were good that first few weeks. I think they hit 3 million at the start of the first one.
Highest ratings ever. Yep.
And then it just went very much downhill from there. And I think even if you look then, I think it's a powerful time in the wrestling industry. Because I think Raw the same night got sort of 5.5 million, I think it was.
Well, that was the night that Bret Hart came back to WWE. And he made amends with Shawn Michaels in the ring, and they hugged. So you're not going to beat that, I don't think.
And, I mean, you look now, and they're struggling to get even half of that. And obviously the TV landscape has changed hugely for both companies. But I think it just tells you that was a time where, I don't know, wrestling really was capturing people's imagination. And maybe it isn't now, but yeah, that era of TNA, certainly sort of 2010, 2011, for me, wasn't great, and I really, really didn't like this song.
I mean, as far as the actual lyrics go, they're quite interesting. I am, possessed by the future, future, and my greed and power, power, running through my veins. Can you feel it? Watching all the angels, angels, ticking me higher, higher, emotional chaos, chaos, running through my veins. Watch it change me. Those aren't exactly the most inspiring lyrics in the world, you know? Like Adrenaline Rush and Cross the Line, those songs are all about hyping up people, hyping up the audience, motivating them to be original and to feel the rush and whatever and so forth. This is about a guy who has greed and power running through his veins. He also has emotional chaos within himself, and it's changing him. So there's a lot of corrupting imagery going on here, which is not the kind of rah-rah enthusiasm that you would expect with wrestling themes here, Andrew.
No, I get you. I think, yeah, there's something about those lyrics as well when you just think it was the kind of the Hogan Bischoff era that's just kind of a bit uncomfortable, really. You know, all about the power and the greed and all that kind of stuff. Just, I don't know. It doesn't sit, the juxtaposition there doesn't sit right with me, but I don't know. It's a song that, again, feels like a backward step in many ways. You had a really punchy theme across the line, and then this just doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got Hogan and Bischoff there, I think greed and power and chaos are kind of par for the course. So maybe it is fitting after all. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, with the chaos, with the ratings tanking and being forced to move back to Thursday nights. It's a lot more true to life, I suppose, than one might realize, Andrew.
Certainly, yeah. Good old Terry.
The very next year, 2011, Impact gets its seventh theme in 7 years. Why? Because the show has been rebranded. No more TNA Impact, it is now Impact Wrestling. Take your sexual innuendo names and hit the bricks, sweetheart. This new theme is by Dale Oliver and Cirque Salinas. It's off of the album TOI. It's called Sinister Rise Above. So we were on a nice little run there with the songs, with the vocals and the lyrics and so forth. Strange lyrics sometimes, but they did add some depth to the theme songs. But now we're back to the instrumentals, because I guess they changed the name of the show and figure, well, gotta get a new theme as well. And now we're back to this type of song. Pretty hard to break down with any complex analysis, really. It checks all the boxes, it's fine. Hard and heavy, intense, driving, etc., etc., but it doesn't really lend itself to long-form conversation, Andrew.
No, I agree with you. I think it is quite heavy, it's quite intense, and I think it works well. I think it does the job, but yeah, it's not a complex piece of music at all. I think one thing I meant to say in the previous song, you mentioned Orlando Jordan, that gimmick was trash, and it was really, really bad, and I remember watching it with my mum, and my mum just being utterly, utterly appalled at whatever was going on, because it made no sense at all. And it was just really bad acting with him and Eric Young. It just wasn't great wholesome family viewing, I'll certainly say that. But yeah, I don't know. I think this song comes from a time that was very odd, because I remember they did the whole, like, oh, we've got big news, we're going to do a rebrand. And then it was like, you're going from TNA Impact to still being TNA, but the weekly show is going to be called Impact Wrestling. And it was like, how is that a change? I don't know. It kind of ended up feeling more confusing, because it was like, is it TNA? Is it Impact Wrestling? Which is the one you're supposed to use, if that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, this theme song lasts a long time as well. There's a lot that happens between when this song comes in 2011 and the end of the Spike era.
That's right. Yeah. This is the longest lasting Impact theme to date. May 19th, 2011 to January 7th, 2015. So a little under 4 years there for this one, which compared to like every other theme, which only lasts like a year or two at most, it's pretty impressive that even though this theme song is not the most memorable one out there, it is the one that has lasted the longest.
Yeah, it's very odd. I mean, this is an era that you see the six-sided ring come back. They go down from monthly pay-per-views to quarterly pay-per-views to, I think it's biannual pay-per-views by the very end. You had Aces and Eights. You had Bobby Roode. You had Austin Aries winning the title at Destination X 2012, which is one of my favorite moments in company history. I really, really love that match. It was one that actually really kept me invested in promotion and didn't turn me off. Unfortunately, Mr. Aries' spell with the company has obviously ended in an unsavory fashion last year. But certainly that match from this era stayed with me. You had Rob Van Dam, Kenny King, Christian York. I remember their X Division feud. That was quite fun, I guess. You had Chavo Guerrero and my boy Hernandez. They were a really fun team. You had the Dirty Heels. I don't know. I feel a lot happened in this era. And, of course, Aces and Eights.
Bad Influence as well.
Yes.
I love the Bad Influence run. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was an interesting time for sure. But a very long time. A lot happened. I mean, you had Hogan sort of go during this time as well. A lot happened whilst this theme was going on, which I think, unlike the other ones where it felt they chopped and changed because there was an announcement, but maybe something in the company hadn't really changed. This one stays, even though really everything within the company was really changing.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, yeah. And it's weird too, actually, because there is also like a lyrical version of this song out there too. And the lyrics are your typical rah-rah, hopeful, inspiring wrestling lyrics. Don't let the losers drag you down. Rise above the liars, rise above the hate, and so forth. The lyrical version would work really well as a TV theme, but for whatever reason, Impact went with the instrumental version instead.
Yeah, I think that probably would add a lot, to be honest. Because I think as an instrumental, it's good. It does the job, as I said, but it doesn't have that extra gear that maybe some of the other ones certainly did.
Right, right. So, January 7th, 2015, that is when Impact gets a new theme. The reason being because Impact moved to a new network. They are now off of Spike TV after so many years and are now on Destination America, which will be their home for the remainder of the year. Not a big channel. In fact, the average ratings do take a severe dip with the move, unfortunately. But Impact figures, you know what? It's a big channel change. Let's have a makeover. Let's change the whole thing up here. New logo, new stage, new graphics, and a new theme song. This is by Crazy Town featuring Boondock, and it's called Megatron.
Coming of age.
I'm turning the page, perception. Not Jimmy, but Zeppelin, I'm wrecking. Into the ground, I'm loud and I'm proud. My sound is under discretion. No question, I am the future. I'm giving out lessons. I am your tutor. Was known as a loser, but look at me now. As good as when I was a shooter.
So before we get into this, I'm sure some of you out there heard me say the name Crazy Town and thought, isn't that the band that did the song Butterfly? Come a lady, come a lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Yes, it is. It is. Now, that song came out in 1999. This one came out in 2015. And you might think, 2015 Crazy Town is not something that I want to listen to. And for the most part, you're probably right about that. But in this case, I'll make an exception because I actually really like this song quite a bit. In fact, this is probably one of my favorite Impact TV themes here, Andrew.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Why
did I make an error in judgment there?
No, I don't know. Part of me, I don't know. This song to me, I don't know, it never really sat right with me in terms of what I felt they should have been going for. But I think that might be a hindsight thing, really. I think the 2015 year on Destination America didn't really work, and I think a lot of the things they tried that year didn't really work. So maybe I just associate the song with a year in the company's history that I didn't really like. I don't know. That might be me.
Yeah, I'm not speaking about the TV product, obviously. I mean, I'm just talking about the song in and of itself, in its own little bubble. And really, I think it's just a nice breath of fresh air from the constant straight-up metal music that we've had so far, almost the whole way through here. You know, it's lighter, it's bouncier, even bouncier than Adrenaline Rush was. It's got the catchy chorus with the whoa, 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 whoa parts. The rapping is okay and nice and hits all the notes of being braggadocio and cutting, but also kind of inspiring as well. It's a much more fun song to listen to than, say, Sinister Rise Above or any of the instrumentals that we played earlier, because those just get boring after a while. You know, they tend to blend together. This one, it does stand out because it brings more of that party atmosphere and fun atmosphere to the proceedings, which I appreciate.
No, I get you on that front. I think it certainly does strike a much different tone with than the other ones, rather. And obviously that's what they had to do. They were onto a new network after the acrimonious split with Spike. And I think they had to try and go with something different. They certainly needed a reboot in a sense. But to me, I just don't think, to my mind anyway, I don't think it fitted the brief. But that might be because in my head I've got quite a fixed, i.e. wrestling TV theme songs need to kind of fit that rocky and a hard, like hardcore punky mold. And this doesn't necessarily. So maybe it's just it doesn't work. But I actually quite like the song. I think it's quite fun. Maybe I don't see it as a wrestling TV theme.
Fair enough. That's fine. But I do think you're right, though, that they did need to change it up with the new channel. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I at least appreciate that they did try something different here.
No, I'm with you on that front. Yeah.
So the Destination America run only lasts a year because the ratings were so low and they didn't want to renew them for more episodes. Also, because Dixie Carter is a fucking moron, and she sent an email that was critical of the Destination America executives to the Destination America executives, which is a move that is probably in the LOL TNA Hall of Fame, I think. So they're off Destination America, but luckily another channel comes in to save the day, Pop TV, which is, again, not a big channel. And again, the average ratings are still very low compared to previous years in Spike. And because of the channel change as well, they get another new theme, their ninth theme, which debuts on January 5th, 2016, the first Pop TV episode. It's by Billy Corgan. Yes, we have reached the Billy Corgan era. The BCE is here. This is called Roustabout. This is easily the most unique song of the episode, I think, because it just doesn't sound like anything else here. It doesn't sound like any other Impact TV theme played. It's not industrial metal, it's not rap rock, it's not rock and roll at all. It doesn't even have any substantial instruments in it. It's just a couple synth riffs and a drum machine, and that's about it, really. It's really quite sparse and simple in comparison to so many of the other themes, which I think makes it quite unique in that sense, Andrew.
No, I actually, kind of contrastingly to the other one, this one's very different, but I actually really like this one, and I think it worked. Because to me, it was different, and I think it symbolized that Billy Corgan's involvement, they were trying to do something different. You can see now the stuff he's doing with the NWA, that he clearly has a vision for what wrestling should look like and the things you should be able to try with wrestling. And I think they did try that in 2016 with this theme. At that time, you had Mike Bennett came into the company. I think he's someone who gets a lot of stick. I really enjoyed his run with Impact. I thought he was good. I thought he was serviceable. I thought he played his role as the sort of chicken shit heel really well. You got Moose coming into the company. You had the big Lashley title run. You had EC3's face run, which I really, really enjoyed. You had the Broken Hardy stuff. It was all trying to do something a little bit different. At the end of the year, they brought in the Grand Championship. there was a lot of stuff they were trying to do that was different. And I think that theme symbolizes that because it's totally different to everything else that we've had on the show so far.
Yeah, to me, when I listen to it, I don't automatically think of a wrestling show. I think more of like a sports package, you know, where there's like a bunch of athletes in slow motion in their respective sports. Maybe a shot of the fans celebrating in the crowd and going nuts. Like an interstitial for ESPN, that kind of thing. Which again, I'll give it credit for doing something unique in that sense, because it's not going for the usual amped up, aggressive, crazy wrestling show song. Ah, let's go, metal music, yeah, come on. It's a lot more subdued than that. It's a lot more sophisticated in its presentation to the audience, I think.
No, I think you're spot on there. I actually, one of the things I really enjoyed about this song was that it has quite a nice escalation to it. And I thought it worked really well with the graphics packages and stuff they did whilst Billy Corgan was there. Because like you say, it worked well with the kind of the camera shots and the slow motion. And I think they were able to recap storylines and so on with this in the background. It actually worked really well. And that was one of the main kind of lasting memories I have of that song, is that it always seemed to work with the various different clips and so on that they'd upload.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. I mean, as you said, that's Billy Corgan trying to bring something new to the table. You know, it doesn't last very long, unfortunately, because the theme song only lasted like about a year, and Billy was out of TNA in like 16 months or 18 months. So yeah, just chewed up and spat back out was poor Billy Corgan, I guess.
Mm. But I think it was great because it kind of gave him a platform to try some new things and have some new ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Seen the NWA. He had the opportunity to try some stuff, see some stuff that worked. And now I think the NWA have got a really nice niche and they're doing some really fun stuff. So I think Billy Corgan's been a really positive addition to the wrestling business.
So the 10th and current Impact theme, the one that they have right now, even after leaving Pop TV for the Pursuit channel, which, by the way, makes Pop TV look like CBS in terms of audience reach. It debuted on March 9th, 2017, and it's by Dale Oliver, off of Green, the Music of Impact Wrestling. This is called Notorious. So we're ending this one on not so much a down note, but kind of a meh note, to be honest. It's just more of the same metal instrumental there. This has a little bit of electronica in there with the percussion, but really not all that much to write home about with this one. Not bad, not amazing, it's just kind of there, you know, in one ear, not the other, Andrew.
Yeah, I think it might not be particularly memorable, but I think you just think, since March 2017, the amount of turnover that company's had and the amount of changes that they've had. I mean, this started when basically Double J came back, greatest player in the game. He was back in it. He brought on all this fresh talent. You had the GFW crossover angle. You had the titles getting unified. You had some really good stuff. And then Jeff had his problems and he left. And then the merger kind of failed. And then Don Callis and Scott D'Amore came in, and I thought that when they came in, I thought that was going to be the time where the theme changed. I thought they would change it again because Don and Scott clearly have a very different vision for what they wanted Impact to be. And they really were trying to give the company a reboot. They've gone back to quarterly pay-per-views. They've started touring again. They've been to Canada and New York and varying different locations. They've been to Philly recently, Las Vegas, going back to Texas for Slammiversary later this year. They went back to the four-sided ring. They got rid of the Grand Championship. They brought in some top, top-level indie guys and really tried to consolidate their roster of top-level indie guys and then using local talent in the various cities that they go to. And I think it's a time where they've actually started to rebuild some credibility in the last year, both financially. I think they're the most stable they've been in a very long time. And in terms of fans, as you say, the Pursuit deal is garbage. But I think Impact generally now has a far better reputation than it did 2-3 years ago. You only have to look at Slammiversary last year. It was an all-time great show. And even Rebellion a couple of weeks ago now was a great show. I know you're a fan, same as I was, of the Tessa Blanchard-Gail Kim match. I think Impact is in a good place right now, even if the buzz is small. But yeah, this theme's been through a lot.
Yeah, I suppose looking at it, there's a sense of stability and normalcy here with this one, I guess, because it's not the kind of song that will light the world on fire, obviously, but it's not the worst song ever, either. Same with Impact. You know, TNA, Impact, whatever it's called, it's been in much better situations than this one right now. But I would also argue that it's been in much worse situations, because right now, it's not doing great, but it's also not the complete and utter laughingstock of the wrestling world that it was for just so long. Like, they're not thriving, they're not getting a ton of buzz, really, but at the same time, they're not being just ruthlessly mocked and sinking into the ocean. Like, right now, they've plateaued, which, even though they're not at a high level, it's much more preferable to sinking.
I totally agree, and I think the main thing for me is that the title of the song is perhaps the most apt since Cross the Line. I think no matter what, through its existence, TNA Impact Wrestling has always been notorious for something, for good. Be that AJ Styles, Daniels, Samoa Joe, Triple Threat from 2005. Be that the X Division. Be that some really, really good storylines and storytelling. Be that the bad. Be that the bad matches. Be that the lol TNA years. Be that the Hogan times. Be that Dixie Carter and the Destination America emails, or every kind of financial faux pas they made along the way. You had Jeff Jarrett. You came back in 2017 and then suddenly that fell apart. And then there's the, did they delete the GFW tapes or did they not delete the GFW tapes?
Yeah, about that.
Or even last year, even though that there was the Callis and Damore administration seemed to bring some stability, and I think Slammiversary did get some real buzz. That was a notorious show. You then also had the incidents with Alberto El Patron and Austin Aries at Bound for Glory that got the company headlines for the wrong reasons. And I think no matter what, Impact Wrestling has always been notorious.
Yeah. And I think looking back on this episode and looking back on history, who knows? Maybe Impact will be around for many years to come, because it's been said year after year, you know, Impact is going to die, it's going to die, and it's still here. It's still on the air. It's on Pursuit of all places, which sucks, but it's still on the air. It's still a thing, which is good. It's good because we want Impact to still be around so that there are as many wrestling alternatives as possible. We need that. And I think the big question now, of course, is what is next for Impact? Where do they go from here? Maybe Impact will bounce back up a little bit. Maybe they'll sink further down. Maybe they'll stay the course. I don't know. But whatever happens, I think based on everything that's gone on so far with that company, Impact will always be known as one of the most persistent wrestling entities that has ever existed.
I could have put it better myself. In the words of Winston Churchill, they'll just keep buggering on no matter what.
Well said. All right, well, that does it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And Andrew, thank you as well for being here, because this was just a total blast talking about the various Impact themes and strolling down Impact memory lane with you.
Thank you very much, Andrew. It was a real privilege. I really am grateful. Thank you.
Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
Not right now, because I'm currently dying under a stack of revision, but if you want to follow me on Twitter for some lukewarm takes, it's at amsinclair97, and then check me out at Voices of Wrestling for Impact columns and Scottish wrestling, as and when I feel like it.
And Music of the Mat is part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. You can find this and many other great wrestling podcasts on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. You can find the YouTube playlist for this and all past episodes at the VOW forums. That's voicesofwrestling.com/forum. And of course, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. Andrew, thank you again. I'll see you around.
Thank you.
All right, for Andrew Sinclair, I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.